Good morning. It is good to see everybody who's out with us this morning. I want to join with Brother Adam in welcoming you out. We're so very happy to see you this morning. We do have several who are visiting with us, and we're very glad that you've chosen to seek us out this morning. We want you to feel welcome, and we encourage you and invite you to come back at every opportunity that you may have. And I want to especially encourage you this morning to open up your Bibles and follow along with the things that we will be having to discuss. I heard a statement the other day that has, it kind of stuck with me. It gave me some information that I wasn't really aware of and hadn't really thought of before. And the statement was this. I don't know exactly how they figure these things out, but in the United States, the average American spends 5 hours a day in front of the television, or at least with the television on while they are in the house. And a lot of times it's background noise that's going on there, but 5 hours a day that the television is on. And I got to think about that. Why do we turn the television on at all? Do it to be entertained, right? I mean, what other reason would it be on? I mean, every now and then maybe somebody watches for the news, although I think for the millennial generation, there's not many getting their news from the news anymore on television. Get them on phones, get them on apps, things of that nature. Most of the time, we turn the television on to be entertained. And that got me to thinking about how much of our time is spent seeking to be entertained. Whether it is the television, whether it is the movies, whether it is music. In my case, I love to read. I am a pleasure reader. I absolutely love to do it. I seek it for entertainment. So ask yourself, how much of your time on a daily basis is set aside to be entertained? Just ask yourself and then answer it for yourself in your mind. I want to start by opening up our Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 3. And when we get there, we're going to be reading a very familiar passage to Bible students. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. This is what the passage says there. Tell you what, let's start back in verse 12 so we're not really starting in the middle of a thought. Verse 12 says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." The deceitfulness of sin, that's a thought that I think about regularly, and I consider often just how deceitful sin really does become and how deceitful it is in our lives if we're not paying attention to it. As I was thinking about all of the entertainment that we Americans seek, I thought I would do something just because I'd never really considered to do it before. And I thought I'd go to my bookshelf, look at the books that I have there. Thought I'd go on to my recently watched list on Netflix. Just scroll through, see what they were. Took out my iPhone and looked at my music that I have on there, just seeing what it was, just not going to be entertained by those things, just to see what they were. And then I started to think. I started to think about what I saw there. I was reading just the other day over in Matthew 15. Turn your Bibles there with me, if you will. Matthew chapter 15. Actually, I was reading there this morning as well. Alexander's class is right here in Matthew chapter 15 right now. I want to pick up here in Matthew 15 in verse 16. Matthew 15, beginning in 16, says this. And he said, "Are you still also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person." And I got to thinking as I considered that, where do those things, especially when it comes to a Christian, where do those things, or how do those things, get into the heart to come out of it in the first place? I mean, those of us who spend a good amount of time in God's Word, where do those evil thoughts, how would they get into our heart to even be able to come out of it? And I wonder if entertainment doesn't have something to do with it. So as I was considering these things, I began to think about some of the comments that I have heard from brethren, and quite frankly have even made myself, and really begin to consider what they actually said. I want you to think about these. When you get past all the bad language, it's really a good movie. Or if you'll just ignore all of the nudity, you can really get into that storyline. And if you don't think about all that sexual immorality on the show, you'll really get into that show's writing. Or I just tune out all the bad stuff. I don't even notice it anymore. And I got to thinking, especially with that last comment, how usually when I hear it, and I have heard it several times from brethren, it's being said in a kind of self-congratulatory way. Like, I've reached the point where I can just tune out all the bad stuff, and somehow that's a good thing. Somehow that means I've done what? And I want you to think about these comments. What does it mean, brethren, to get past all the bad language? What does it mean to get past that? What does it mean to ignore all the nudity? What does it mean to don't think about the bad stuff? What does it mean to just to tune out those things? Because I'll tell you this, brethren, as I said a moment ago, I have made comments like these over the years. And I asked myself, Adam, what did you mean by that? Pretend that it's not there? Just act like it doesn't exist. Don't be bothered by it. How unlike a man like Paul that is. Remember in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." There's a really interesting statement made about Paul. Turn over to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and I want to read verse 16 when we get there. Acts chapter 17 and verse 16. This is what that passage says, and it's a well-known one. "Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, as he saw that the city was full of idols. Now, at the time, Athens was one of the great cities in that world. We're told that it was a city of great beauty, with temples and statues, marvelous temples and statues all over the place. We're told that it was a city of great learning. We're told that it was a city of the arts, one of the premier cities for those things in the world at that time. And when Paul walked in to that city, he saw the idols. He saw the ungodliness, because that's what idolatry is. And as a Christian, a true Christian, he could not just get past those things. And so I got to be thinking about Paul and some of these comments up here. And I asked myself, could I imagine Paul writing a letter to Apollos, to Aquila or Priscilla, and saying to them, you know, you really need to come to this city. It's an incredible city. Just ignore all the idolatry. And I mean, there's sexual immorality that occurs all throughout these temples as it's part of the pagan worship. Ignore that stuff. Just get by that stuff. You're just going to have a great time here. Can I imagine Paul ever saying something like that? And the truth of the matter is that I can't. And then that got me to be thinking about another topic related. Why is it that a Christian can sometimes work in a place for so many years and their coworkers not know that they're Christians? Their coworkers not to notice any significant difference between them and others? And it led me to this question. Could it be that part of the reason this country is what it is today, from a spiritual perspective, it's a cesspool, brethren, I think you realize that as well as I do. Could it be that part of the reason it's gotten to this point is because too many Christians for too long have been getting past, ignoring, not thinking about, and tuning out wickedness rather than shining the light of Christ upon it? I want to focus this morning in one specific area. We've already talked about it. Entertainment. What are we choosing to entertain ourselves with? Because so much of our time is given over to it. What are we putting in? Because our Lord has promised that's what's coming out. So, these comments that we just saw a moment ago, all of these, there's really only one conclusion that I think we can come up to. These are the comments of the desensitized. That's what they are. These are the comments of those who have been desensitized, at least in some way, to sin. What we need to consider going forward, how do we avoid that? How do we make sure that doesn't happen? And here's the first point that I think we need to make. How do I avoid being desensitized to sin? Expose it or ignore it. Do not choose it.
for your entertainment. I want you to turn your Bibles with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5. And let's read the first 12 verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Ephesians 5, 1 through 12 says this. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually impure, or immoral, or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them or partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That last statement we just read, verse 10, we're going to come back to that thought in the final point of the sermon this morning. Take no part, verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Now, brethren, here's what I want us to do. Take a look back down at those verses again. Verse 3. Do any of us believe that Paul is saying, I do not want you to engage in sexual immorality, to engage in impurity, to engage in covetousness, which is idolatry. I don't want you, specifically yourself, you don't use crude or filthy speech. Make sure it doesn't come out of your mouth. But when it comes to entertainment, by all means, choose those things. Choose that stuff. Be entertained by it. Just make sure that you're not saying it and you're not doing it, but find pleasure in those who do. Be entertained by it. Can you imagine Paul saying that? Can you imagine him even thinking it? Turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 1, because I think he's going to answer that question pretty clearly here. Romans chapter 1, 29 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 32. Now, Paul is going through describing the Gentile world and how wicked it had become. He's going to start listing several different sins in verse 29. And then in 32, as he's making a conclusion and summing things up, I think he says something that really hits us right where we live. He says in 29, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Now I'm just going to tell you, brethren, I have read some books. I have watched some television shows and movies where I would say that individual doing whatever that individual is doing is horrible. He shouldn't be doing it. It's sinful. And I'll tell you what, I did not close that book. I did not turn off that television. I did not leave that movie.
I sat there, and I was entertained by it. You tell me, how is that not giving approval? How is that not giving approval? How do we avoid becoming desensitized to sin? We stop choosing to be entertained by it. We expose it. Or we turn from it. Let's go on. How do we avoid this? Seek pure, wholesome entertainment. And before somebody says, well, it doesn't exist. Yes, it does. We've just got to be willing to look for it. Turn your Bibles with me to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. This is describing the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Go over to Philippians chapter 4. Just flip a few pages there in your Bible. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. This is what the passage says. Philippians 4, 8. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And there's no caveat attached that says, unless it's entertainment related. These are the things, brethren, that we are to be focusing on, that we are to find praiseworthy, that we are to fill our minds and our hearts with. It's these things, as described in the fruit of the Spirit and Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And we can find these things today. And sometimes it takes a little work. Sometimes all we need to do is to go to somebody we know is a good Christian and just ask them. And they know. Some of the saddest things, most tragic things, is talking to Christians about entertainment that is pure, that is wholesome. And to hear them say, I find it boring. I just can't be entertained by it. What is that saying? I can't be entertained by something that does not contain sexual immorality, that does not contain profanity, that does not contain crude joking, that does not contain violence, that does not contain dishonesty, that does not contain gossip. I can't be entertained unless I have that? What is that? If not having become desensitized and hardened by sin? What is that if not a reflection upon the heart of the Christian making such statements? As we seek to avoid becoming desensitized to sin, we must guard our steps carefully around those who have been desensitized to it, especially when they are brethren. I want you to look with me at a couple of passages. Let's start by going to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Then we're going to go to Psalm chapter 19, or the 19th Psalm. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him,
And he will make straight your paths in all your ways. The word all means there is no part of your life where that is not true. Even when it comes to entertainment, in that way, acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. Look over at Psalm 19 and verse 14. What an incredible way to end this psalm. And what a desire for the life of a saint. Psalm 19 and verse 14. Psalm 19:14 says this, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." These meditations, these thoughts, he's speaking of every single one of them at every moment of his life. No matter what I'm doing, even if it is entertainment, let the meditation of my heart, thoughts of my mind, let them be acceptable to you. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now, sometimes we do come across those who are desensitized. Of course, those in the world have long been. Sometimes it is, brethren. There have been, I don't know how many times now, where Jackie and I have been at home, and based upon the recommendation of a fellow Christian, turned on Netflix, found a show, and thought we'd give it a shot. We try to watch it. And I don't know how many times we haven't been able to make it through a single show. Sometimes haven't been able to get through the first 10 minutes of a show. Sometimes even brethren get to the point where they seek profane, ungodly things to be entertained. Brethren are not the standard. And it doesn't matter how many of my brothers and sisters in Christ may be watching a show filled with ungodliness and immorality. That doesn't make it right. God tells me what is good and what is pure. God tells me that. He is my standard and nobody else. Part of the way to keep ourselves from becoming desensitized to sin is by guarding our steps carefully around those who have already been, even when they're brethren. I want to make one more point. And I told you we'd be returning to this point. Ask yourself this question. Would I be doing, watching, or reading this if my Lord and Savior were standing right next to me? I want you to look at two passages with me. The first one is a passage that I read very often from the pulpit. I think it's such a powerful passage. And then there's a similar one to it from the Apostle Paul speaking to the Galatians. Galatians had a problem, and Paul was trying to help them work through it. But in Romans 8:29, this is what we read. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Go over to Galatians. Let's read chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. Galatians 4, verses 19 and 20. Galatians 4, beginning in 19. This is what Paul says. "My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. I have asked myself," especially as I've really been considering these things, "is this something that Paul would be able to say to me as he considers what I'm entertained by? Is it something he'd be able to say to you? I am perplexed about you. And again, I'm in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is fully formed within you. I told you at the beginning that I am a pleasure reader. I love to read. And I'll be honest, I go to that bookshelf and I've seen some series there that I've been reading for a while. Authors who, they can tell a story. Tremendous at building characters, tremendous at weaving stories. But they feel as though they have to include so many things that a Christian has no business considering or reading. So I ask myself, Adam, if Christ were standing here right next to you, would you be reading this? Would you be entertained by it? Or would you be embarrassed? Would you be ashamed? And that's what we have to ask ourselves. We're sitting down in front of the television. We're listening to our music. We're at a movie theater. If my Lord, truth of the matter is, He is. But if He was physically present right there next to me, would I be watching this? Would I be listening to this? Would I be reading this? Or would I not? And if the answer is, I would not, what in the world am I doing watching it, reading it, or listening to it at all? One of the things that Satan works so hard to get us to do is compartmentalize things. This, what we're doing now, this is that little window during the week where we gather together to worship. Then I've got this afternoon where I've got time set aside to do whatever I'm doing. And then this evening, I can make the choice, am I going to come back and worship with my brethren or am I not? And I got work tomorrow, and then in the evening of each day, well, I've got time for my entertainment. And I'm going to compartmentalize all of that thing, all that stuff. And what Satan wants us to forget is that there is no compartmentalizing being a Christian. Because in every single one of those things that we have planned throughout this week, in that thing, we are Christians. And we have pledged our loyalty and our commitment to Jesus Christ. And that includes what we choose to be entertained by. Don't let Satan convince you otherwise. What you put in is what's going to come out, at least in thought. Don't let the entertainment you choose desensitize you to sin. And it can. Because sin is deceptive. So bear that in mind. I hope that every single one of us in here are already paying close attention to the things that we choose to be entertained by, and that we are always careful to make sure they are pure and wholesome, godly. But if we're not always as careful as we should be, then I hope the sermon this morning has helped. See, what we're trying to do is get it off this page and get it into the heart. These words mean something. And our conduct matters, even when it comes to entertainment.
If you're not a Christian, you've got an opportunity now to become one. Believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him as Lord. And be baptized to have your sins washed clean from your soul. All things are ready. The only question is, are you? And if the answer to that question is yes, then the Lord is ready to receive you as one of His right now. What a wonderful thought that is. If you're subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.